Good morning, fellow sojourners. It is Monday, the 8th of August, and today I'm going to be wrapping up our four-part prayer series. We're looking at when prayers go unanswered. Today, I want to look at three aspects in terms of that, and the first one is unbelief. Now, I know that I've addressed this in a number of sessions before, but I'm wanting to go into a little bit more detail today because I really believe, and there is scripture to prove it, that unbelief is the greatest hindrance to our prayers. In fact, if you look in the Gospels, Jesus addresses unbelief on a number of occasions, and so that just highlights the importance of being able to identify it. I'm going to look at four accounts today. In Matthew 13, verse 58, it says, Jesus could not do many miracles in his hometown because of their unbelief. The second account is in Mark 5, and this is the story of the synagogue leader's daughter that is dead. And when Jesus arrives and he gets into the room, he asks the mourners why they are crying, because she's merely sleeping. And they laugh at him. But I want you to take note of what he does next. He puts them all out of the room and he raises her. And so I want to say to you that he identified unbelief in them because they were laughing at what he was saying. And so he removed them out of the situation. In Matthew 17, verse 19 to 20, this is the account of the disciples when they are trying to cast the demon out of the possessed boy, and they're unsuccessful. And when they ask Jesus why they were unable to cast it out, he says, it is because of your unbelief. And lastly, in Mark 8, verse 23 to 31, Jesus heals a blind man in Bethsaida, but take note, he takes him by the hand and leads him out of the city. And again, I really believe that he was removing him from an environment where there was unbelief. And so without further ado, I want to continue and I want to go back to that verse in Mark 11, verse 22 to 23, which says, whosoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that the things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. I want to repeat that. Does not doubt in his heart, but believes that the things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. And I know that this sounds so simple, but in actual fact, we all know that it's a lot harder than it seems. I want to say to you that from experience, I've realized that no matter what I pray for, there is always a place where doubt and unbelief try to creep in. And so I liken it to a T-junction, where if I take the left turn and I look at what is going on around me in the natural, then it is easy for me to allow doubt and unbelief to get into my heart. But then there's an alternative route which takes me down the path where I then focus on the God of the impossible, the God that raised the dead and split the sea and healed the sick. And it's at that point where the breakthrough comes, because it silences the doubt and unbelief. And so I want to say to you that there is a spiritual world. We all know this. We live in a natural world. And yet there is a spiritual world. The spiritual world is unseen, as we know. And so just like radio waves and electric magnetic waves around us are not seen, it doesn't mean that just because they're not seen, they don't exist. So too, the spiritual world also exists. And I believe with all my heart that God answers our prayers in the spiritual realm, but that what gets it back into the natural, or gets it into the natural, is in actual fact our faith. Faith is what gives substance to the things that are not seen. In Hebrews 11, verse 1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And so today I want to say that we need to identify that unbelief, or spot it the moment it comes in, because it is the opposite of faith and it is highly destructive to our prayer life. In fact, it can undo any faith. And so a little while ago, I was praying for somebody for healing. And I asked them, do you believe with all your heart that right now, the moment we pray, that you are able to be healed? And they said, yes, but that it is a little bit far-fetched. And so I've really had to go and check my heart, because I know that I've lost a lot of breakthrough because of the unbelief that has crept in. And sometimes we can't identify it, but it's definitely there. And so when we go back to that verse, it says, whosoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that the things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. We need to see that unbelief and we need to counter it straight away. The second thing I want to look at, and I'm going to be looking at a reference to a verse to be able to explain it, is James 4, verse 3. And I'm looking at it from the Amplified Version. It reads as follows: you ask God for something and do not receive it because you ask with the wrong motives, out of selfishness or with an unrighteous agenda, so that when you get what you want, you may spend it on your hedonistic desires. Other translations say you may spend it on your pleasures and lusts. And so, yeah, I know I've addressed this as well in the previous session. We need to make sure that our motives of our heart is right, and also that it's aligned with God's will. Remember when I mentioned that you couldn't pray for another wife if you've already got one. Also, God also has a certain timing. He knows what's best for us. And so I also gave you the example of the fact that you wouldn't give your 12-year-old a Ferrari because the timing is off. Sometimes God has a different time because he knows that it would be best for you. And then lastly, I just want to stress that God is a loving God. And just like you wouldn't do anything or give your children anything that would harm them, so too God would not do the same. And so he might not give you that promotion that you're praying for because it might ruin your family, or he might know that it's going to take time away from him. And so God is a loving God, and he cares for us, and he will always take care and make sure that he gives us the right stuff. The last thing I want to look at is hindrances. And for this, I specifically want to look at two types of hindrances. The first is that God very often uses people in order for our prayers to be answered. I'm going to use a simple example. A man once wanted to sell his house, and he put it on the market. And the moment he put the sign out, he prayed to God for that house to be sold. And there was another man that was going to buy that house, and he had already made his intentions known, but he needed to sell his house, and the buyer for his house had a whole lot of problems. And so the sale of the house was hindered horribly, and it was delayed a lot. But only at the point when this man eventually was freed up from his hindrances, he came with cash to buy the house. And it was only then that the seller of the house realized that his prayer was answered the very, very first day, but that there was hindrances in terms of people needing to be mobilized along the way. The other hindrance I want to look at is that Satan himself can hinder our plans. Remember, he comes to kill, steal, and destroy, and so he is often paramount in hindering our prayers. The example I want to use is in Daniel, and there's two accounts in Daniel where we see two very, very different scenarios. The first, in verse 10, I think it's verse 21 in Daniel, it says, "While I was still in prayer, Gabriel came to me." In verse 23, it says, "As soon as you began to pray, a word went out." And so that indicates to us that the moment we pray, that it is heard in heaven. And so that prayer was answered very, very quickly. In fact, probably instantly. But then there's a second account where we see that his prayer took 3 weeks to be answered. And I'm going to quickly read from Daniel 10, verse 12 and section B of that verse. It says, "Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to them. But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me for 21 days. And so it helps us to understand that there are hindrances and that sometimes they can delay our prayers. But can I just close off by saying that God always wants to answer our prayers. He's a God of love, but that he is not the variable. There are other variables that can delay and even hinder our prayers. Doesn't this teaching just give you such a different perspective of prayer? I really hope that they've blessed you. And I'm going to be attaching a testimony, and I'll probably send it out next week, but a testimony of a prayer answered. And I want to send, it's quite long, so I'm going to send it out next week. But I really do think that it just beautifully illustrates what I've taught. And also, if you look at the outcome, it really is amazing. And I believe that it is the secret between how this man's prayer was answered and not. And so I really believe it's going to stir your faith. And until then, I hope you have a blessed week, and we'll speak soon. Goodbye.